The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the September 2019 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. We're going to continue the NFL preview. We now are in the NFC West. Number four, the Arizona Cardinals. The 2018 record was 3-13. The offseason saw plenty of changes to the Cardinals, who hired a new head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, and spent the top pick of the draft on a quarterback, Kyler Murray. Kingsbury brings a wide-open spread system to the desert, one meant to highlight his new quarterback's dual-threat skills. Murray won't have to do everything himself, though, as he had veteran wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald, 69 catches, 734 yards, and versatile running back David Johnson, 940 yards rushing, 446 yards receiving, at his disposal. The offensive line is a work in progress, but Murray's elusiveness will help prevent sacks. Chandler Jones, 13 sacks, will star in Arizona's new-look D. Since being acquired from the Patriots 3 years ago, he had 41 sacks, including an NFL-best 17 in 2017, all while playing end in a 4-3 scheme. Under new coordinator Vance Joseph, the Cards will transition to a 3-4, and Jones has lost weight. He's aiming for 255, down from 280, in preparation for a move to outside linebacker. The team may look different, but until the new players have a chance to gel, the result will be the same. Bad. The Cleveland Showdown. For two decades, they have given their fans in the dog pound little reason to woof. But shrewd drafting and off-season wheeling and dealing have made the Browns the NFL's hottest team. The foundation for the most anticipated season of Brown football in a long time was laid 9 years ago, 800 miles south of Cleveland. That's when Odell Beckham Jr. first met Jarvis Landry. The two were both star high school wide receivers in Louisiana, but they were in Tuscaloosa, Alabama for a 7-on-7 tournament. They forged an immediate bond, and when it came time to decide where to go to college, their friendship, Beckham described them as being more like brothers, played a huge role in picking a school. They decided to attend LSU, where they put up ridiculous numbers as the Tigers were a national power. In 2013, Beckham and Landry became the first teammates in school history to have 1,000-yard receiving in the same year. Late in their final season together, Beckham was asked about how he'd feel after their last game at LSU. "It's not something I like to think about," he told a Baton Rouge newspaper. "It's kind of sad if it's our last time." It turns out it wasn't their last time after all. For the second straight season, the Browns made a huge trade for an elite receiver. Last summer, they acquired Landry from the Dolphins. Then in March, they landed Beckham from the Giants. The best friends were reunited, and suddenly Cleveland fans had an offense worth getting excited about. Back together. For the past two decades, the Browns have been bad. Very bad. Very, very bad. Very, very, very bad. We can go on, but you get the picture. The team has had just two winning seasons since 1994, much to the dismay of their notoriously rowdy fans in the dog pound. 3 years ago, they were 1-15. Hugh Jackson, who was then the team's coach, vowed there would be no repeat. "We're not going to do that again. We can stop right there. I'm not doing that. We're not going 1-15. No, I'll be swimming in the lake over there or somewhere. That's not happening." He was right. It didn't happen again. The team went 0-16 the following year, becoming just the second team in league history to go winless in a 16-game season. Jackson made good on his promise by jumping into Lake Erie in an effort to cleanse the team. All of that losing, though, is finally paying off, much like the Philadelphia Sixers' turned years of terrible records into a stockpile of draft selections and became one of the NBA's brightest teams. Cleveland amassed an impressive collection of high picks. Unlike the Sixers, the Browns never openly admitted they were tanking, but the team made it clear that it had an eye toward the future, repeatedly trading down in the draft to gather even more selections. Among the players chosen with picks originally owned by Cleveland, Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz, Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson, and Falcons receiver Julio Jones. Last season, the Browns finally started cashing in that draft capital. Landry wasn't happy in Miami, and the Dolphins traded him to Cleveland for picks in 2018 and 2019. A year later, two more picks, plus safety Jabril Peppers, got them Beckham, who desperately wanted to get out of New York. "I feel like we spoke this into existence almost," said Beckham. "He and I dreamed of this. This is something we talked about at 17. I'm going to live right down the street from you. We're going to be on the same team. It's surreal." Landry was just as emotional when he fouled out. He called Beckham and he says, "I cried. I cried with GM John Dorsey. I cried with Coach Freddie Kitchens. I know for me, not only as a player, but as a person, he's definitely someone my life needs." The Browns rejoined the NFL in 1999. The franchise moved to Baltimore in 96 and became the Ravens. Cleveland was immediately given a new team, which would start play 3 years later. Since then, the team has only had 5 1,000-yard seasons by a wide receiver, and no one has done it more than once. That's an average of 1 every 4 years. Beckham has had 4 1,000-yard seasons in 5 years, and the only reason he missed out on the fifth was injury. Landry has had 2 1,000-yard seasons in his 5-year career and has hit 975 on 2 others. A new beginning. Why had the Browns struggled so much to find a decent wide receiver? A big part of the reason is that they've struggled even more to find a quarterback. The team has used a staggering 30 starting QBs since 1999. In the same span of time, the Patriots have used 5. The Browns' 0-16 season in 2017 meant they had the top pick in the draft the following April. Instead of trading down yet again, Cleveland used a pick on Baker Mayfield. The brash Heisman winner from Oklahoma wasn't a slam dunk pick. The draft was loaded with quarterbacks, most of whom were built more like prototypical NFL QBs than the 6'1" Mayfield. A brief history of Cleveland woes. Jim Brown calls it quits in 1965. The Browns had won 4 championships in their 16 years in the NFL. Their then Hall of Fame running back Jim Brown, the reigning MVP, retired at age 31 to become an actor. They haven't won a title since. Broncos Blues. The Browns lost 3 AFC title games to Denver in the 1980s. In one, they allowed a 98-yard scoring drive in the final 5 minutes. In another, they fumbled away the tying TD at the goal line. The Browns went with Mayfield, though, and he became the starter in Week 4. At the midpoint of the season, the Browns were 2-5-1 and had just lost to the Steelers for the 15th straight time. Jackson was reportedly in a power struggle with offensive coordinator Todd Haley. Instead of siding with one or the other, Dorsey and owner Jimmy Haslam made a surprising decision. They fired them both. Defensive coordinator Greg Williams took over as head coach. The reins to the offense were given to Kitchens, the running back coach in his first season with the team. It was an odd decision, to be sure, but it paid off. Mayfield thrived under the innovative Kitchens, who spiced up the Browns' attack. In the season finale against the Ravens, he called a play in which Mayfield faked a shovel pass by tossing the ball in the air and catching it himself. The defense froze, and Mayfield drilled a strike to Landry for a 48-yard touchdown. Cleveland lost that game but finished a 7-8-1. Mayfield, who threw for 376 yards against the Ravens, set an NFL record with 28 TD passes as a rookie. Doggone good. Beckham is no stranger to his new quarterback. The two have trained together the past 2 offenses. off seasons. The receiver told GQ magazine that Mayfield is Brett Favre. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. Beckham, however, didn't know his new coach until he arrived in Cleveland, but it didn't take him long to forge a bond. He greeted Kitchens with a big hug. "He's straightforward," said Beckham. "Authentic. I feel a different energy when I stepped off the plane. It's love." When Beckham greeted the media, he couldn't stop smiling and praising Landry. "He made me who I am today. He's taken me to a level of greatness." During practice, they looked as if they were having a ball. Microphones caught them playfully arguing over what baby deer eat. Landry claimed he Googled the answer, baby milk and cereal. "Now, where do they get baby milk and cereal from in the woods?" Beckham asked. "If anyone has had a problem, it's Mayfield, who will have to figure out how to keep two receivers happy when there's only one ball. I'll probably just close my eyes and throw it up and hope one of them catches it," he joked. The bottom line is, these Browns look impressive, but they haven't been tested yet. "We're good on paper," said All-Pro defensive end Miles Garrett. "Everything looks good. Everything looks tight, offense and defense. But until we go out there and prove it, it's just words." The time to go out and prove it is fast approaching, and Beckham will be ready. "I've watched this team from afar," he said. "Each year they were building, they were stacking players. They go get Landry and just stacking, and now it's like it's finally here." Continuing with Cleveland's woes, bye-bye Browns. Despite the fact that the Browns had one of the most rabid fan bases in the league, owner Art Modell announced in 1995 that he was moving the team to Baltimore for a better stadium. Football is back in Cleveland where it belongs. Unwelcome return. In 1999, Cleveland got a new incarnation of the Browns. In their first game, they had just two first downs and lost 43-0. They finished the season 1-15. Go jump in a lake. Then coach Hugh Jackson kept his promise to leap into Lake Erie after the Browns went 0-16 in 2017. Cleveland has had 18 losing seasons in the 20 years since the Browns returned. NFL defense mechanisms. Coaches are turning to versatile players and unpredictable schemes to stop offenses that are dominating the game like never before. Prince Amukamara sat inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium watching Super Bowl 53. While Patriots fans applauded their defense for shutting down the Rams' supercharged offense, the second highest scoring unit in the league, the Bears' cornerback dwelled on one thought: New England is using our blueprint. 8 weeks earlier, Amukamara's defense had led L.A. to just 6 points, its lowest total of the season. The Rams arrived for their game in Chicago, having scored 30 or more in 10 of their 12 games. Vic Fangio, who was then the Bears' defensive coordinator, and his talented bunch of players had found the solution to containing the Rams' offense. They played aggressively against L.A.'s wide receivers. They sent pressure to quarterback Jared Goff, and they confused the Rams' offense with matchup zone coverage, a combination of man-to-man in which each defender is assigned to a specific receiver, and zone in which defenders cover a certain area that requires subtle communication among the defensive players as they shift all over the field. As any NFL coach or player will tell you, it's a copycat league, and Amukamara smiled as he recognized the Patriots' strategy. Even though he was watching the Super Bowl and not playing in it, he was proud that his defense had accomplished one of its goals that cold December day when they played L.A. It's like, oh, no one can stop this team. Amukamara says, we want to be the team that shows the league. Okay, this is the blueprint. We felt like we did that for New England selfishly when they played the Rams in the Super Bowl. They saw what we did and they used that. Breaking points. The 2018 season was the most prolific offensive year the NFL has ever seen. teams combined to score 1,371 total touchdowns, the most in a single season, and 847 of them came through the air, also a record. A total of 11,952 points were scored, the second highest total in league history. Three teams, the Rams, the Chiefs, and the Saints, averaged at least 30 points per game. Only the fourth time in NFL history that at least three teams had averaged that many. When Kansas City and Los Angeles played each other in November, the result was a video game-like offensive shootout. The Rams won 54-51, the first time two teams had scored more than 50 points in a game. There were 11 offensive touchdowns, and the team's offenses combined for 1,001 yards. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes threw for six touchdowns and a season-best 478 yards. Seeing performances like that, as Packers defensive coordinator Mike Patine put it, is stressful. As a defensive staff, this is our livelihood. He said earlier that month, we watch these offenses each week and we're like, all right, here we go again. The evolution of offensive football has been brewing for years in the college ranks. Slowly but surely, NFL teams have adopted the spread offense of college football, where the quarterback physically takes snaps from the shotgun position rather than under center, and the offense uses three, four, even five wide receivers to spread the defense across the field. By spreading defenses thin with more pass catchers to cover, all the offense needs to do is confuse one defender who has both run and pass duties. If that player commits to the pass and stays back, run the ball. Offenses further complicate matters for their opponents by employing pre-snap shifts and movement. One player is sent running from the formation before the ball is hiked, or three receivers rearrange themselves. How the defense responds to the movement of often reveals what type of coverage they are in. If a defensive back follows the receiver across the foundation, the D is probably in main coverage. That knowledge gives the offense an advantage. Back to school. Lightning bolt. As a rookie, James had three and a half sacks to go with three interceptions, which landed him on the all-pro team. The offenses that are changing the NFL have been based largely on schemes run by NCAA teams. As a result, pro coaches have been spending time on campus talking to their collegiate counterparts to see what ploys have worked against the endless combination of routes and personnel and pre-snap movement. They found that defenses have to challenge that same creativity and be unpredictable. What we say at our place is what we want to play defense like offense, said TCU coach Gary Patterson. We want to be able to audible, and the only way you can audible is to have versatility, and you have versatility because of speed. For decades, NFL defenses led the same standard base personnel. There would be seven players, usually three linesmen and four linebackers, in the box, the area at just behind the line of scrimmage. Behind them, two cornerbacks and two safeties patrol the defensive backfield. As a result of facing more complex and pass-happy offenses, Amukamaro says Chicago rarely practiced in base personnel. We need more defensive backs, because we know the offense is going to come out with more wide receivers. Amukamara says, we know they are going to pass a lot. The Chargers employed seven defensive backs in their base D against the Ravens in the AFC wild card playoff game. Los Angeles had been burned earlier in the season by Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson, who is an electric rushing threat. So L.A. made sure to have fast defenders all over the field. The game plan worked. L.A. blanketed Jackson's receivers. He was just 14 for 29 and he had enough to come in as his running 54 yards on 9 carries in a 23-17 win. Another way to combat these evolved offenses is to use versatile defenders. Charges safety Darwin James is a prime example of a hybrid player. He is a safety, but at 6'2", 215 pounds, he's big for the position. James is more like a combination of safety and a linebacker, playing all over the field. He's flexible enough to fit playing all over the field. He's flexible enough to fit into any scheme, each which keeps opposing offenses from guessing what the Chargers were going to do. You see a lot of guys that can come on the off ship and drop back into these zones, says Bears running back Tariq Cohen. When you have a guy like that, you can combat the pass pretty well. On the other benefit of employing so many athletic defenders is what they bring the potential for big plays. In that wild Chiefs-Rams shootout, both units came up with big pops, combining for 3 defensive touchdowns. The Super Bowl, the Patriots' defense also found success in something out of the ordinary. New England put in 6 players on the side of the scrimmage, 4 defensive linemen and 2 linebackers on each end to prevent any outside run from the Rams. The 4 defensive backs each patrolled 1/4 of the field behind them. And to make it even tougher on Goff and Rams, the New England's defense did what Patterson suggested. They used audibles. The Patriots made 2 types for each play. They used audibles. The Patriots made 2 calls for each play. They showed 1 look before the snap and often shifted to a different one after the snap. As a result, Goff completed half of his 38 passes attempts, and ironically, one of the most explosive offensive seasons in NFL history ended with the lowest scoring Super Bowl ever. In the stands, it was hard for Amakura not to be beamed with pride, and it was hard not to think that maybe defenses in the NFL isn't dead after all.